next game. Here's the fans, Chris Hockey.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Purple Friday Final, proudly presented by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. My name is Chris Hockey, as always, joined by Pete Bursich. How much fun did we have in Carolina? It's been almost 15 days since we actually won that game and last played a game. We needed that bye week. Try to remember how much fun it was to win that game in Carolina.
It really was. And anytime you can win on the road in the NFL, it's a great thing. And I know going into that game, I was curious as to see how the team would respond to a noon game on the road, 1 o'clock local, obviously, and they responded very well. And I think those kind of games are the tell to see, you know, has this team packed it in? Do they have any fight left in them? How they respond to these nondescript type games? I mean, everybody is going to be ready to play on Monday night, no question about it. That everybody that you've ever been in touch with or met your whole entire life, your grade school teachers, everybody watches Monday Night Football. But when it's noon on the road, it's a little different bit. You have four or five cameras there, then fifth or sixth squad announcing the game. It's pretty nondescript, and they played very well, and I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback and how he's continuing to grow week in and week out.
We'll talk about our quarterback and his performance in a moment, but what were your initial thoughts of Cam Newton?
I was impressed. I didn't know with his history at Auburn, he had one good year, and sometimes you hate to be Carolina back at the draft day and looking at him and saying, you know, the kid had one good year. You wonder if it was a one hit wonder type of a situation. But Cam Newton is the real deal. Physically, he's very impressive. Getting a chance to see him on the hoof before the game, he's a big, big guy. 250, but he's really tall, so he looks thin. But just an amazing athlete in the pocket, and he's working on his passing game, which is, I think, the key for any of these young quarterbacks who are very athletic and can scramble. We'll see a guy Monday night who scrambles to make big plays. I think it changed a little bit against San Diego because he saw a little bit more man coverage. But, again, a quarterback who can scramble, he's still trying to get the ball down the field. He can make some of those strong throws, the deep outs, those kind of things, and I thought he managed himself pretty well. So I think Carolina can look forward to having that position solidified and taken care of for the next few years. And he's, comes off as a very good competitor and a guy who wants to get better and better. So I think Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers have their quarterback for the next, hopefully for them, 8, 9, 10 years.
You know, Pete, I saw something out of him that I continue to see out of Christian Ponder as well, which as well bodes well for us as a team with a franchise quarterback for perhaps for quite some time. But it looked like it was almost impossible to shake Cam Newton's confidence. He just walks with the confidence of a veteran NFLer as opposed to a rookie quarterback.
Well, and a lot of times that's because they don't know what they don't know, and they haven't been down that road before. And I think that's one of the things with Ponder as well, is that regardless of the score, regardless of the situation, regardless of the game, I mean, he hasn't been around long enough to dread certain types of situations or certain types of outdoor games on the grass, on the road. And I remember looking back years ago, that was such a big deal. The Vikings outside on the grass. We haven't won outside on the grass in so many years or so many games, and they went ahead and took care of that. So a lot of times these young quarterbacks, they don't look at the big picture all the time. They're just trying to live day by day, game by game, minute by minute. And I think in that respect, both those guys did that, and they both fought to the end, and it was a very competitive game. It was a good game. You don't always see games with two teams that have three wins between them go out there and put on a good solid show, and both teams did. So it was a very, very good football game, considering the records and considering what these teams had behind them going into that game.
That's Pete Bursich. This is Purple Friday Final. Pete, how important was that win? When we come to Monday Night Football, it will have been 15 days since the last game for your Minnesota Vikings. How important was it to go into the bye week with a win?
It always is. And that's one of the things that Denny Green emphasized so much when I was playing, was to win going into the bye and to win coming out of the bye. And whether or not we won going into the bye, a lot of times that even affected what our schedule was during the bye. And so as players, I mean, that's what matters to you as a player, is, hey, yeah, we can get an extra day off or an extra day in shorts instead of pads if we go ahead and take care of business. I mean, that's motivation for a player. That's motivation. Now with the rules changes and everything else, you can't really dangle that carrot in front of guys anymore. But you're right. It's 15 days, and you're able to leave the facility. You're able to get your mind off of football for a few days, and it's a good feeling knowing that the last time out, you went out, you took care of business. And so, yeah, there's a formidable opponent on the horizon. It's a big game Monday night in Green Bay. So the confidence is going to help too. But there's no question that for that period of time, for that long 15-day period or week, it really does help, especially on that weekend that you have off. Now getting into practice this week, it's the same as it always is. You know, right now they shouldn't be really noticing too much of a difference. But, it's a pretty big deal.
As a player, literally, is that short amount of time enough to give your body some rest so you do feel better with that much time off?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely is. I mean, you get into that the grind of every Monday. You get up, you feel like garbage. You know, you go in, stretch, lift, work it out. Tuesdays sometimes even worse. And then Wednesday you come in and you're working. So getting out of that that trend and at least having a weekend where you can go out and not have to worry about football, not have to worry about being at the facility on time, not having to worry about how you did on the practice the day before, digesting the game plan, all those things you can just leave behind you for a few days. So it's an important of a break mentally as it is physically. Because when you come back, you realize that now's the grind. I mean, normally, from my experience, we were always in playoff type of contention. And so that's looming at the end of the season. And so you use that to get your mind right. But there's no question that having those 3 or 4 days to just be by yourself, to get away from this, to leave town, do whatever you have to do. You need to kind of reset and refresh, and it's a welcome break for the players, no question about it.
And, of course, we'll talk about the Packer game in the next segment as we always look at the coming game in the second segment of Purple Friday Final. But as a coach, obviously you're not taking time to let your body recover. I'm sure you need some time to let your mind recover, but I got to imagine you're really, really happy if you're Coach Frazier and all the coaches on that staff to not only have a win you're coming off of, but to have 15 days to prepare for the best team in the league.
Yeah, and for coaches, you won't spend all 2 weeks preparing for them. Yeah, you're going to get a head start, and with the short week coming up the following week, they may want to even get some film work done ahead. But coaches need a break as much, if not more, than the players do, trust me. And those guys are there 6 a.m. to midnight or so, at least 3 or 4 days a week. And then that Monday, when we come back and that plane lands at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, those guys are back to work at 6 a.m. the next day. And they're working like any other Tuesday. They were there till midnight, if not longer, because they lost a day because of the Monday night game. So the coaches, they need that time as much, if not more, than the players to get their mind off of things, to rest, to you know, like you said, you get a little extra work in. And from a game planning standpoint, they should be able to have the Green Bay Packers down. I mean, we're familiar with them. We just played them a couple weeks ago. So it shouldn't take them too long to come up with the game plan, the scheme, and what they want to do against Green Bay. So they should be confident and ready to go.
With a Vikings Fan Vision controller in your hands, you can pull up instant replays, multiple camera angles, highlight reels, stats, and more anywhere at the stadium. You need to learn more about Fan Vision at fanvision.com/Vikings. This is Purple Friday Final. That's Pete Bursich. We'll break down Monday night's game, Vikes at the Pack. Second matchup this year. The first one was a doozy. We'll see how this one's going to play out with Pete Bursich when we return right here on The Fan.
The Fan. A Purple Friday Final on The Fan.
And once again, welcome to Purple Friday Final, proudly presented by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. My name is Chris Hockey. Continue to be joined by the great Pete Bursich, the color commentator of the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network, and of course, former coach and former player for your Minnesota Vikings, who this weekend on Monday night traveled to take on the Green Bay Packers, the best team in the NFL. The last time we played them, Pete, it was quite a doozy. We threw Christian Ponder to the Lions. His first time ever as a starting quarterback in the NFL was against the Packers, and he really held his own.
Oh, he really did, and you're going to have another pretty much perfect performance out of the kid on a Monday night to beat this kind of a club in Green Bay, no question.
Christian, as we've talked about, and we talked about it a little bit in the last segment as well, but he just seems to carry himself with such poise. In fact, that's the word that Leslie Frazier continues to use to talking about his young quarterback. Everybody said in the draft, if there's one quarterback who's perhaps most ready to start in the NFL, it's Christian Ponder. Is that because of this poise thing everybody's talking about?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the other thing that that he's displayed is the ability to make adjustments, and you can see that. Early on in the Carolina game, for example, they were playing a lot of man-to-man against us, and he had missed, for example, a wide-open Devin Aromashadu down the field, and it was a game of mulligans. I mean, Percy Harvin got his touchdown rushing. He got to run that same play two times in a row. Ponder, again, missed Aromashadu the first time, found him the second time, and you could see him seeing things on the field, taking it to the sidelines. That's when the coaches like Musgrave and the rest of the coaches can get together with him and say, this is what you're getting, this is what you're going to call, this is what you're going to see. Those are those adjustments that we had spoken so much about early on in the year. And he's able to come out and do a few of those things and complete some balls down the field. And that's what we're talking about with, on the growth side. Right now he's heavily dependent upon his coaching staff and his teammates to let him know what's going on out there. Now, as he gets older and matures, and this could take a season or two or three, but he should be able to make those adjustments in his head and on the field and walk to the sideline knowing, hey, this is what I'm getting, this is what we should go to. But right now he has to be spoon-fed some of that stuff from the coaching staff and from his teammates. And it's just nice to see a guy go about his business that way, meaning he's out there, he's seeing what the other team is doing, he's going to the sidelines, he's getting information, he's digesting it, and then he has the ability to get on the field, identify those same situations, and then take advantage of it. So, like I said, as a veteran, you'd hope to do that maybe a little more quickly. But for him, just what he's shown me on the field and what he's done in the adjustment category alone, I think it bodes well for him. And you're right, he's pretty calm, pretty cool. He's himself, and that's important. As corny as it might sound, him being the same guy in the huddle, whether it's first and 10 on the first drive of the game or first and 10 on a 2 minute at the end when you need a score, that level of consistency is very, very important for his teammates. And he has enough leadership about him. And trust me, the other guys on the team see it. And when the other receivers and linemen and tight ends and running backs see the adjustments he's made and that he can execute them, it gives them confidence. It gives them confidence every time they step on the field, every time they start a drive, and those things are important. So I expect, and so as that goes, our expectations of him go up every week. He neither one of those rookie quarterbacks threw an interception. Cam Newton should have had a couple picked off. Our DBs kind of like get through their hands, but in that respect, he's only in two games. He has almost as many touchdowns as he's only one short of Donovan McNabb, who had four. He has three in two games. And he's thrown the same number of interceptions. So the productivity's coming. It's getting there. And as long as he can build on that, I think, like I said, we might have ourselves a quarterback for the future.
Game one versus the Packers, Christian Ponder, again, his first start. The first play is 72 yards to Jenkins. To Jenkins for an almost touchdown. If it had been 73 yards, it would have been a touchdown. Any chance we see something like that again, very first play of the game from Christian Ponder on offense where he just tries to let it go?
It'll be a little harder to take him by surprise. I mean, they've seen Ponder a little bit, but you never know. They're going to have some things definitely for him. But, you never know. You get the ball first and 10 middle of the field, maybe that's something that you do. Maybe you take another shot again or you build off of that and you give them the double moves and then you try to throw some check down or throw a screen off of it or something. I mean, that's the process, the game plan. Here's A to B to C, and the coaches are responsible for that. But it was a great way to start a career. It was a great way to start against the Packers. And the Packers are a good football team. They're not going to let that happen to them twice. At least they're going to try not to. So if he can do it, that'd be awesome.
They may be the best football team. Again, Pete Bursich, Purple Friday Final, talking Vikings, 6:30 every Friday night. Aaron Rodgers, what I will remember the most about that first game this season was the fact that Aaron Rodgers was almost flawless. He was so good, so spot on, like a surgeon back there, and yet we still almost got him.
Yeah, I believe he had three or four incompletions that whole game, one of which was a kill the clock type of a play. I mean, yeah. you look at his productivity. He has 2,600 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, and only three interceptions. Huh. I mean, he's almost to his total number of touchdowns last year, which I believe was 28. So he's almost there, and we're really only halfway through the season. What's interesting, too, is you take our leading wide receiver, which is Michael Jenkins. If you plugged him into the receiving core of the Green Bay Packers with 362 yards, he would be fourth on the list of receivers, and with three touchdowns, he would be fifth on Green Bay in touchdowns, and he would even have a tight end in front of him. So it's the amount of yards that they get on offense and the way that they go about their business with Aaron Rodgers and is very, very prolific. The bad news, though, for the Packers is that with all these yards that they're getting on offense, they're giving up almost the same amount on defense. Hmm. You took a look at net yardage, when they're around 2,500, they've given up 2,400. So teams have been able to move the ball on them. The main difference, if you look at the San Diego game last week, San Diego made it a game. They made it a game at the end, and that's after giving up two touchdowns on interceptions. So if you can just limit the turnovers, not allow them to score on defense, you're going to have the ability to maybe trade blow for blow with the Packers. And really, you just got to hope you can get Rodgers off of his game enough, just like we did in the first one, because he was unstoppable until toward the end of the game where he missed a couple third down conversions, and that opens the door. And they're not going to open the door much, but when they do, you have to take advantage of it. And that's what the defense is going to have to do. They're going to have to try to slow him down, but on those key third downs and on those big plays, they're going to have to come up big and get the ball back in the hands of our offense.
And that's essentially how we stayed in that game last time, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on our defense, obviously Jared Allen is having a phenomenal year. Brian Robinson, those guys are playing very well. We should be able to pressure Rodgers. Our defensive back should know that the man does not scramble to get first downs. The only time he does that is if he sees man down the field, but he scrambles to make big plays. And it's been really 3 weeks in a row that we've had not necessarily a mental error, but a breakdown on the back end where one of our safeties is either lined up in the wrong spot against Steve Smith to give up a touchdown or completely blown it like against Greg Jennings and let him go free. Those kind of plays they have to eliminate. And you hate to see throw, catch, tackle all day long, but these safeties and the defensive backs of the Vikings, and we're getting Antoine Winfield back, which will be nice. Chris Cook, he's gone. He's not a factor. So you're still going to see a lot of Asher Allen and Cedric Griffin. But especially on the safety, whoever's back there for us, I know Hussein Abdul will be, but who Jamarcus Sanford, Tyrell Johnson, I don't care who's back there. They cannot let anybody get back behind them. And we've seen a breakdown in that position for 3 weeks in a row, and it needs to end.
You know, let's go back to their defense for just a second, talking about the Green Bay Packers defense. What is broken on their defense right now? What is the weakness back there?
Yeah, they do give up a lot of yards through the air.
Okay.
But they play a very aggressive style of defense. They are not afraid to match people up one-on-one and then get after it. And so when you do that, yeah, you're going to make some big plays, but you have a tendency to give up some. That defensive front, I mean, B.J. Raji and Ryan Pickett, Jarius Winn, they're tough to run against because those guys are so big and do such a good job of holding up the front. Now, conversely, from a pass rush standpoint, you know, they're doing okay. Clay Matthews only has three sacks so far this year. What's amazing, I think, on the defensive side, the guy that really stands out to me is Desmond Bishop. Desmond Bishop is leading the team in tackles and sacks. I mean, Desmond Bishop has more sacks than Clay Matthews, the guy that we see doing all the commercials on TV and everything else. He's the big name, the hair, the whole bit, but it's really Desmond Bishop that's been leading that defense. Along with Charles Woodson, those are the guys up front, or at least those guys on their defense that played very, very well. Yeah, they let teams move the ball on them, but they play, again, that aggressive style. They're not afraid to take chances. They're not afraid to go after a football. And, for Ponder, just make smart throws, make good throws, and just try not to – you can't play trying not to turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. But, that's that's the pack D, man. You can move the ball on them. They tighten up in the red zone, or you give up that big interception. And those guys, trust me, Woodson and that group, they turn defense into offense very quickly. And once they intercept that ball, they're really hard to bring down.
The old saying is that's why they play the game. I know they're favored by 14 points. They're the best team in the league. They're 8-0. They're at home, and we're coming in 2-6. But again, anything is possible. What would be the keys to a win for the Vikings? What do we have to be able to do to beat them?
I think for us, it's not turn the ball over, number one. I think we have to be on the positive side and the plus minus overall. I think that if there's one key, it's going to be that. Adrian Peterson was solid the first time we played him, but not necessarily explosive. Like, he had a couple big runs. I take that back. He did bounce a few on the outside. We need that same kind of productivity out of him. And then, like I said, defensively, just you can't give them anything easy. You can't. It's going to be hard enough to slow these guys down, but you have to make them line up and snap the ball one more time. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I don't care if you tackle a guy after a big play and it becomes first and one on the one. You have to make these guys earn everything they get. And they're so good, so explosive, and Rodgers is so confident in what he can do. He's pushing the limits. I mean, some of those throws that he made against San Diego, one of them to Jordy Nelson, that back shoulder fade, I mean, those things are almost impossible to stop. But you have to continue to compete because there'll be a time, there'll be a game, where they don't make all those plays or the receivers drop a ball here or there or Rodgers is just a little bit off. And there's nobody better out there than Jared Allen to give that guy a headache once or twice in the course of that game. So you're going to need some pressure on him. You have to make him not feel so comfortable in the pocket. If he throws a football to you, you have to intercept it. Again, we have to come out on the positive side on the plus minus. And then our special teams need to play huge, not only covering theirs, but Chris Cluey has to punt real well. Ryan Longwell may have to. You know, kick a couple 50-yarders, whatever it takes. But you can't miss any opportunities going in and playing these guys. But what you can't do, Chris, is you can't feel pressured. You can't step up to the plate, you get the ball, and think that you can keep up or have to keep up with that offense. I mean, even if it's 14-0 quickly, Ponder has to go in there and they have to stick with their game plan because that's one of the other things, that's the other trap that teams fall into. They feel like they have to throw to keep up, and that allows Woodson and the rest of that defensive backfield, Tremont Williams and that group, to really just hone in and get after us. And we're not a passing team. We are a balanced running team. You can't get away from it.
We wrap up Purple Friday Final with Pete Bursich's prediction. What's going to happen? Who's going to win and by how much?
Vikings win, I think, 52-0. What do you think? How about that?
Man, oh, man, that would be the greatest call in the history of you might as well move to Vegas if you get that right, Pete.
If the Vikings do pull this thing off and win this game, which they can. There's no question in my mind the Vikings can win this football game. They're going to need some help, like I said, from Green Bay, but it'll be a close one no matter what.
That's what I like to hear. Make it a good game. Pete, as always, thank you, buddy.
All right, Hawk, thank you.
There you go, Pete Bursich, color commentator of the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network on Purple Friday Final. With a Vikings Fan Vision controller in your hands, you can pull up instant replays, multiple camera angles, highlight reels, stats, and more anywhere at the stadium. Learn more at fanvision.com/Vikings. Every Friday, 6:30, it's Purple Friday Final right here on The Fan. My name's Chris Hockey. Have a great weekend, everybody.